From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Morena Troy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Excited about some of these tracks you've brought us this morning.
Well, you're particularly excited about the first one, I am.
We've got Akiko Yano.
Yes. Now, I was just thinking, is this the third Akiko Yano record I've had on From the Crate? I think it is.
Second, as far as my memory goes.
Okay.
But my memory's not perfect, Troy, so.
All right.
Not sure.
Could
but
be more.
You definitely had one sometime late last year or early this
Japanese
year.
Which was Japanese Girl, wasn't it?
Yeah. That must have been early this year then.
Yeah, I think it was.
Now, and Sarah was a huge fan.
Yes, I wonder if she likes this one.
She was a huge fan.
We Want Sounds have run the reissue program for Akiko Yano, and it started with Taraima, which was from 81, I think, and then Japanese Girl, 1977, and this one here, which is called Iroha ni Kompetu, which is 1977 as well. What do you think of the cover?
It is amazing. She's
awesome.
Wearing a red boiler suit and carrying a dolphin.
No, not just the red boiler suit. Check out the belt on it.
It's, yeah. What is the? I don't actually know what the belt is.
Well, I think it's a...
It's just colourful.
It's a repurposed sash, like a traditional, like, obi sash.
And then she's got these sick boots on.
I know, she looks very cool.
She looks stylish.
I'm going to hit this so we can listen to it at the same time.
All right. This one is the title track. Now, this one, I think, is a mixture of Japanese and New York musicians.
Where was she based again?
Tokyo.
Yeah, she was based in Tokyo.
Wait for it.
That's cool.
Her face on the cover is just so cheerful. I love it.
I know.
I don't even think I could describe it to the listeners, but she just looks like she's having a good time.
She looks jubilant,
yeah.
I think. This record, what we've got to remember about Akiko Yano is she's not just a singer, not just a Japanese pop singer. She's a composer as well. And she played all of the keyed instruments on this record. So that's all. Moog, mini Moog. There's an early Yamaha synthesizer. Well, actually, it wasn't a synth. There was a Yamaha keyboard. Other things on here as well.
This is cool.
And this might just be on the edge of her association with Yellow Magic Orchestra. This tune we're hearing now was composed by Hosono from Yellow Magic. And who else is on here from Yellow Magic? Somebody.
Good question.
It'll say it, probably in English. No, probably on the English side, unless you can read the kanji.
I was going, I can't read this. I need my brother. He can read a bit of kanji. No, I can't see it. You have a... Oh, no, here we go. Synth Wizard Hideki Matsutake?
Oh, yeah, Matsutake. Assisted in the arrangements of the synth stuff. So this is...
This is really cool. I like this. She gets compared to Kate Bush quite often, doesn't she, in terms of her vocal stuff?
She does, and I think it's just the her vocal range and delivery.
Mm.
None of the music sounds anything like Kate Bush at all.
This is more like, if you're going to compare it to anyone, it reminds me a little bit of that, like a little bit like Joni Mitchell when she started doing like her Wild Things kind of album, but this is funkier.
Yeah, that's what I think is, this might be one of her funkiest records, I think, rather than the... synth pop.
Well, it's certainly a funky dolphin on the cover.
Oh yeah.
So Akiko Yano, what's the name of this album again?
The same as the title of this track. You're not going to read it out, are you?
I'm going to have a go.
Yep.
Iroha ni
Kompetu.
Kompetu.
Yep.
Apologies to anybody who actually speaks Japanese out there. That was probably terrible pronunciation.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. On here as well is Will Lee. He's one of the New York musicians. Will Lee still plays with Akiko now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Was
that your top-rated track off the whole album?
I wouldn't say that it was my top-rated. My top-rated is actually the introduction, which is just a one-minute synth piece. But you know, that's not going to give you any kind of insight into what to expect from the record.
So that would be her on the synths, though, would it?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Sure is.
Well, let's hit the second one. What's the next thing you've brought us?
Okay, from Brazil, Azimuth.
Speaking of synths.
And what they've done is their first record came out in 75. What we have here is two LPs, Volume 1 and Volume 2, of their demos.
Ah, cool.
From 1973 to 75. What sort of music was Azimuth? Well, this. What is this, you say? They said it was crazy samba. It's a kind of specifically Brazilian kind of jazz rock funk, I suppose. Fusion-y thing. But this is a group who still record now.
Oh, do they?
And massively influential throughout a variety of musics, running to hip-hop.
Yeah.
Now, Tess, you will know that the drummer on this, Ivan Conti, made a record with Madlib at one point.
Oh, okay.
This is funky.
Oh, yeah.
They've virtually got a whole novel on the back of the record here.
There is.
There's a lot of text, a lot of info about them.
I love
it. Which is kind of the joys of when you buy a record like this, is that you do get that.
That's why records last as well, because they've got the object thing as well. You get that art object stuff. I like the cover of this with the four members of the band all lying on top of...
Peering over the mixing desk.
Yeah, peering over the mixing desk, all with their arms crossed, looking kind of sad.
I don't think they look sad. They look.
This guy looks sad. Look at him. He looks great.
You've got Volume 1 and Volume 2. Do you buy them separately?
You do buy them separately. Yeah. They come on CD. If you buy it on CD, it's Volume 1 and Volume 2 together.
Together, yeah.
But they are separate LPs. What we're hearing now is Hingo Version 2.
Is that off Volume 2?
This is from Volume 2, this one.
The back of the album says that they were known for their wild rock and roll antics in the predominantly middle-class world of bossa nova and jazz.
Yeah, I think that's a fair enough sort of way of describing it.
Oh, I like that. I like that it's mixed as well, so it's just coming in straight through one ear.
Left channel, yeah. There's one that...
Swap your test.
The most surprising track on either of these two records is a drum solo by Ivan Conti, which is just fantastic.
So is that the person you said had worked with Madlib as well?
Yeah, many years after this,
right.
Yeah. Probably about 45 years after this, I would think.
That's crazy.
So Azimuth have been releasing records now on the London-based label Far Out for about the last decade. Far Out are specifically in the business of issuing Brazilian stuff, either from now or from then. Mostly from now, actually.
So they're making new stuff now and releasing it as well as these, having just released this of old demos.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
It's down to two of them now.
But this wasn't released on Far Out, was it?
This is a Far Out recording.
Oh, it is released on Far Out.
Yes, as you can see, that's the Far Out logo there.
So this track is called Jingo?
Or Hingo.
Hingo?
Yep.
By Azimuth.
Yeah, and it's a demo version. You might recognise this, I think it was on their third LP. Maybe their third, I don't know. But yeah, these are demos from 73 to 75. They were, at the time, they were working as session guys. Marcus Valle, they backed him. They backed other famous Brazilian people. They made these demos and record companies just went, are you insane? We're not releasing anything like this.
Whereas now...
I do like the idea of crazy samba, though. What a funny idea.
Crazy samba. All right, so that was Azimuth. And what is the third track you've brought
us? Track is also, well, it was composed by a Brazilian, Mongo Santa Maria. But as you can hear already, Afro Blue, this is a song popularized through American jazz musicians, specifically John Coltrane.
Okay.
Now, This is the brand new album from Dr. Tedros Avery, After the Rain, A Night for Coltrane. And what it is he's gone and selected a few songs that were important to Coltrane. Not specifically Coltrane compositions, although two of them on here are.
Mm-hmm.
He's played them live. Now, some people would say, well, what's the point? Why can't you just listen to Coltrane? You're missing the point.
Mm.
No one is ever going to play or approach a song like Coltrane.
Is this your own copy, Troy?
Yes, this is.
Oh, nice.
Look. Oh, yes, there it is there. But you hear now this soprano sax, exactly like Coltrane did on the Live at Birdland LP.
Mm.
We've just had the head, exactly the same. From now, it's different, as is the want in jazz. Piano playing here. This is Adam Shulman.
I like this a lot.
Do you know the tune?
No, I don't know the tune.
Abby Lincoln sung it at some point. It's been covered by a lot of people.
I'm not familiar in terms of picking out like a jazz tune specifically, but I can tell you I like it.
You like this one?
Yeah.
This is really nice.
I do.
This record, I thought this record is going to go one of two ways. I thought, okay, I'm going to buy it regardless, but the chance, it was 50-50 to me. It's going to be something that I'll play once and go, God, why? Why? Or it's going to be something like, wow, this is like well thought out, well played, well recorded, and that's the way it went for me. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
So when was this recorded, Troy?
A year ago.
Oh, far out. So this is a recent.
Yeah. Dr. Avery is a professor of music at, I think he's in Los Angeles, UCLA.
He was born in the 70s.
Yes, he's younger than
so
me. He was born like many years, quite a few years after Coltrane had died. I just want to say one or two more things about Coltrane. I mean, I know that...
Be my guest, Troy.
It's stunning when you think of the inspiration that he has been, not just on jazz, but on a whole bunch of forms of music. And when you're thinking of what the inspiration is based on, you're thinking of a 10-year period. That's it, 1957 to 1967 when he died. And what he did in that time was possibly the most rapid and deep movement of stylistic changes that anyone had done before.
Yeah.
And I think that's what inspires people now. People like Dr. Avery, I think. What we have on this, if you buy the CD of this, you get two extra tracks. One of them being a 20-minute version of Africa from the Africa Brass album, 1960. Also from that album is the opening one on the vinyl, which is Blues Minor. Pursuance, written by Coltrane, of course, is from A Love Supreme.
This is amazing, this little bit here.
You like this? He's only on soprano on this tune. He's on tenor on the other tune.
Brilliant.
When I first saw this come through this morning, I thought, oh, Troy's a 10-minute track. But this is actually something that I could listen to the full 10 minutes and not think, oh, this is a long track. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's right.
Yeah, which is nice. Sometimes I think with the longer tracks, you can get a bit like, this is, you know,
if, going on if for something's a while, boring, but this it's going to be boring for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I
mean. If something is interesting, it's going to be interesting and fun for 10, 15, 20.
But do you think it's more difficult to create a piece of music that won't get boring over a longer period of time?
I think it's difficult to create a piece of music which is not boring, full stop.
Mm, that's a good point.
True. That's a very valid point.
Hey, so who's this again? Remind us.
This is Tedros Avery. After the Rain, A Night for Coltrane is the name of his new record. It is out on Tompkins Square. I must say, there's the CD you'll be able to get easy. The vinyl, there's 500 copies worldwide.
Far
You're going to have to be very quick.
Snap that one up.
Wow.
You also brought us in Azimuth and Akiko Yano this morning.
Yep, Azimuth. There's the two volumes of the Demos album, 73 to 75. And Akiko Yano, Iroha ni Konpietu. Is that
Fantastic.
What we decided it was?
Yes. Close enough.
There we go.
Least,
we've got them all.
Butchered
in
pronunciation.
Fact, Akiko and Azimuth are not out until tomorrow worldwide. Tomorrow!
Ooh. So does that mean they can't come into Southbound today and get it?
Yeah, it kind of does.
Oh.
Come in tomorrow then. Yeah. But you could go and pick up Teardrop Ava if you wanted.
I'd say if you, go in first thing tomorrow.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much, Troy, for bringing these in this morning.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
You will indeed.
From the Crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street.